And that is time for the rural news. This morning we are joined by Monique Steele. Kia ora, good morning, Monique.
Tēnā koe, Ingrid.
Now, a global aquaculture company is looking to harvest kina and to help restore kelp fields. What's happening there?
Yes, well, the endemic sea urchin and traditional Māori kaimoana has a tasty and lucrative roe inside its spiky exterior. Kina graze in kelp forests, but they can be quite destructive to their ecosystems, sometimes stripping all the kelp off a reef, creating large areas of unproductive kina called barrens. Company Urchinomics has pioneered a way to grow destructive wild kina for commercial sale while restoring the dying kelp fields. Fisheries businessman Maru Samuels is spearheading the project locally, and he says the system of feeding and housing the kina is quite unique. He says a solution is needed because kelp fields are disappearing around Auckland's Gulf Islands, the far north, and also in Te Waipounamu.
What happens is the number of kina gets to a point where they pretty much smash the kelp. Anything that tries to regrow, they'll just chomp through that. And these kina, the best I can kind of describe them is they become kind of zombie kina. Eat all the kelp, and then they just sit there, and they're skinny, so there's no kai in them, there's no roe in them. Nobody wants to harvest them or eat them. And so they effectively just grow and expand in number. So when we say a desert, what's left is just rocky reef and all of these kina.
Mr. Samuels says it's designed a specialty feed and ranching system for the kina.
This is honestly the biggest thing I've seen in my 20 years that I've been involved in this sector, where, you know, you've got an ecological problem, these kina barrens. Kelp is really important, obviously, to carbon sequestration and housing fish. So you get to restore the kelp, but then you also get to take the kina, fatten them up, and sell them commercially. So there's a commercially sustainable model there.
Maru Samuels says 12 weeks of feeding fattens the kina up just enough for their East Asian customers. He says the project will only work with community buy-in because they need locals to form dive teams and take on other roles. He's meeting with far north locals at Ahui on May the 10th, and they plan to be in business by October, Ingrid.
Well, that does sound like a win-win. Good luck to them. Also, a glimmer of hope that the Indian market is picking up for New Zealand logs again.
Yes, and if India keeps buying our logs, it's hoped that it could ease the pressure on our oversupplied Chinese market. The $250 million Indian market collapsed in 2019 after New Zealand phased out the use of environmentally harmful product, methyl bromide. India, however, still stipulates that the fumigant must be used for log imports from New Zealand to control quarantine pests, and no other fumigants are currently approved there. Initially, India wouldn't accept logs that hadn't been fumigated with it, but late last year, our Ministry for Primary Industries said shipments could continue without being fumigated as long as they were treated when in India. Forestry company PF Olsen's sales and marketing director Scott Downs says a trial shipment has been very well received, so more vessels will leave this month.
New Zealand sent one load to there maybe 2 months ago, and that was a trial load under sort of new quarantine standards. And so now some of the bigger players are sending a load there each. So India does like New Zealand logs, but they've had to make do with a diet from South Africa, South America and USA, and even Australian logs have been going into India too. So if we can open that market up again, then that does take a little bit of pressure off China's supply.
That's Scott Downs of PF Olsen's. Though even in its peak time, the log trade to India only took 1.7 million cubic metres of logs, and that's compared to China's 19 million cubic metres.
Okay, that is quite the difference. Every bit helps though, I guess. So thank you very much for that, Monique Steele, with our rural news for this Wednesday.